weekend is here, and this is it for McDonald's. We are Triple M Footy.
And it's lovely to have your company on this beautiful Saturday afternoon. We are in Melbourne tonight. It is the Storm taking on the Eels. Ryan Girdler, Emma Lawrence, Wendell Salah. My name is Tony Squires. We have a special guest who's just walked into the studio. His name is Christian Welch. He's obviously from the Storm. Good afternoon, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Look, we've got plenty to get into with you. I'm just looking at the dance card, what's ahead for those Triple M listeners. You are going to hear the Collingwood GWS Giants game. Toby Green not playing, obviously, for those fans from Sydney. And then it is the Storm and the Eels. How are you? Let's get the business end out of the way. Before you, when you arrived, the first thing these three said was, what do we do? Where do we go after the watching the game this evening? As the Melbourne representative here, did you give them any good advice?
Yeah, we've given a few spots. Yeah, there's a few good joints that I've learnt off a few. You know, Robbie Kearns, Cameron Munster, they certainly know their way around a few bars around Melbourne.
Where's Robbie Kearns? He's got a bar, hasn't he?
Yeah, a little shout-out, Robbie Kearns. It's called the Albion Rooftop. It's actually around the corner in South Melbourne.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's where these three will probably be a bit later.
I won't be totally.
Dale, I thought you were going home.
I'm going home. I'm going to watch my young bloke play tomorrow, so yeah. I'm going home, Emma. So I think you'll be doing the same, won't you?
Well, I said I will be doing that, so 90% chance I'll be going home.
Goods will be out.
Yeah, Goods will be out and about.
I might go for a look.
Christian, let's get to how you feeling.
He owes me a few beers back in the day. He still hasn't forgiven me for kicking that horse, but
exactly.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
State of Origin camp.
Yeah,
I love it. You play some State of Origin this year, but of course we are talking at the moment about the injury. How are you feeling? How are you holding up with that? The second ACL, was it 2017? First, I think, was against the Dragons, and then again this year when everything was flying. How are you feeling? How are you coping?
Yeah, I struggled a bit at the start. You know, obviously devastated how well our season was going. It was a bit like Groundhog Day, to be honest. From 2017, we were in a similar position coming first and obviously went on and won that premiership. And I think this group can really challenge for the premiership again this year. So it's a bit tough watching. But, you know, at the end of the day, I've got a bit of perspective. You know, it's a bung knee and it's going to repair. And I'm getting paid the same amount of money. And I got a great physio staff. I don't have to worry about bills. So there's a lot of people doing it much tougher than me, just with a bit of a knee injury that'll fully recover.
Can I ask, wasn't there, there was a false alarm a couple of months ago too? Because I felt sorry for you. I thought, oh, this poor kid, he's done it again.
Yeah.
And then something happened over that weekend and then like, yeah.
Yeah, so it was against the West Tigers earlier in the year and heard a bit of a noise, but it turned out to only be a bit of cartilage damage. So it was only about 2.5 weeks out, so... Yeah. So.
There's a nice thing about rugby league players, I guess any sports people in general, where they rally around others who have gone through similar experiences, I guess. Now, I understand that you heard from Clint Gutherson, who the Eels are playing, obviously, this evening, because he's had similar issues. What did he text or make contact with you to see how you were doing?
Yeah, just messaged me. Yeah, he's a really good fella, and obviously he's been through, I think, two ACLs as well, and yeah, there was just a bit of widespread, you know, a lot of fans, but then also a lot of players. Got a nice message from Cooper Cronk. You know, Jordan Carr, who's had a lot of injuries as well, he sent me a nice message. So there's plenty of guys who have been really supportive.
And what does it mean for you? Of course, you've got an option for next year here at the Storm.
Yeah, it means I'll be coming back next year at the Storm and on track for round one, hopefully.
Talking about the Storm, you've been in the system now since you were 18 years old and you've seen a hell of a lot of changes, more so probably over the last 3 or 4 years. What makes this place so special in the fact that, you know, you can roll out players like, you know, Billy Slater and Cooper Cronk and then continue to be successful?
Yeah, I think the biggest key to our club and the sustained success has probably been our best players have been our hardest working players, and I think that sets a really good example. Cameron Smith's the last one leaving the field, working on his kicking, working on goal kicking, his passing. So I think as a young fella coming into the squad, into the system, you see a guy like that who's won everything, he's going to be an immortal one day, and he's still out there working on his craft. As a young 18-year-old, 19-year-old who hasn't played in the NRL, you know you've got to put that work in and then even some more, because it really sets a nice, it's a nice environment, and the coaching support there and the structure there. Very hardworking group, Craig and his coaches, and they really, it's all about self-improvement and being the best player you can be.
What about, I want to ask about some of the stuff that you're doing off the field, because a lot of players sometimes get to the end of their career and they haven't really thought about what is next for them, but you're studying as well. Tell us a bit about that and how you got into it.
Yeah, I guess you get a bit of reality playing footy. This is my second ACL and you never know how long your career is going to go, and so I've studied a bit at uni, I've done a commerce degree, I'm doing my master's at the moment, and But you know, I think that's our club's been really supportive of that. And yeah, it doesn't have to be a uni degree. It can be a trade. I think we've got about 8 or 9 guys led by our senior players, Will Chambers and Jesse Bromwich, get on the tools one day a week. I think it sets a really good foundation. And you need to have that balance, I think. In the Storm, it's such a great, successful environment, but it's also a very tense, heavily reviewed, analytical. You go into meetings. There's a lot of content there. So I think it's nice to be able to switch off, you know, put your brain to use in a different way and not really stress too much.
So did that help you mentally, you think, with the injury, because it enabled you to sort of just completely focus on something else and not be down in the dumps purely about the injury?
Yeah, I think so. I think you need to have that. And that's the reality of footy. You don't know how long you could get injured or you could get cut from contracts. And to have that there, I think it's really beneficial for your mental well-being.
And, of course, that means you have the opportunity as you're recovering, you just sit on the couch next to Dale Finucane and listen to him play the guitar and the shallow.
Yeah, he's pretty handy, old
Dale. Yeah, isn't he good?
Yeah. Yeah, he's got it all, that bloke. I'm a bit envious.
Can you stick around? Plenty more to discuss with Christian Welsh right here on Saturday Triple M NRL. Finals footy tonight is the Melbourne Storm taking on the Eels. Amy Park, Christian Welsh, of course, is injured from the Storm team. It won't be there this evening. Is having a chat. Before we get to that game and you know what you feel about your team going around this evening, what about last night? Jake Trbojevic, this has been the big story that's come out of that Manly. We're leading at the time and then copping the 10 minutes in the bin. Did you see that moment and what did you make of it?
Yeah, I saw the moment, and I certainly felt for Jake. You know, he's a great player and also a great bloke. But I thought it was pretty straightforward. 10 minutes in the bin. Yeah, you just can't touch the bloke there. And yeah, I thought it was a good call.
We're going to speak with Graham Anderson a little later on. Gerds, you don't quite agree?
Oh no, I mean I've said my piece. I just think we see a lot of those incidents on a weekly basis, and just because it's a final, I think referees feel a little bit of pressure, and I think they've been a bit reactive over the last sort of couple of weeks, and I think they got that one wrong. To be honest, it's my opinion.
Last week, the Storm was not the greatest performance, obviously, going down at home. Now, they haven't you haven't gone back-to-back losses, I don't know, since the 1920s. It's been a long time. How's the week been shaping up for this game against the Eels?
Yeah, I think they're prepared really well and pretty confident for tonight. And I think they've just got to fix up particularly their start. I think we saw at the start of the second half how aggressive and the line speed, and I think they scored 8 points pretty quickly, and then Canberra were really good enough to kind of wrestle back momentum. But I think we need to start really hard and then get on the front foot.
One thing I found about the Storm, like usually when you make a mistake, the Storm make you pay. They just in the last couple of weeks have just been off a little bit. I think Big Nelson, he's been playing some good footy. He made a couple of mistakes. I could see the frustration. Josh Adokar, then I know that you guys are human and we all are in football, but Canberra just seemed like they stuck in there. At no stage I think Canberra is going to win that game, but they just seem to stick with us long enough, you know, to get that to get the right bounce here.
Yeah, Canberra have got a really interesting side. They've got those English guys who bring a bit of a different style. They obviously come through the Super League and very attack orientated and play what's in front of them. They're not too coached, and I think that troubled us a little bit, to be honest. And yeah, they're a quality side, and you know, if you make those errors, that's big finals, big games. The teams are that even, you know, an error like that can really cost you.
Where do you think the Eels are most dangerous? We were talking before about their big wingers. Do you think, you know, their back five in particular is where there'll be a threat?
Yeah, their wingers. I've never seen the impact like Blake Ferguson had on us in that grand final last year, you know, for a winger.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like giving wingers raps, but...
you sound like Gordon Tallis, mate.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Exactly. You know, they're phenomenal. And, yeah, so they're really talented. And then, obviously, Mitch Moses last week was phenomenal. So it's going to be an interesting matchup because Mitch Moses plays on the right, but he was involved with a lot of the tries, whereas I think Canberra were targeting... they were going down the left, so that'll probably be more Brown. So it'll be interesting to see how the Eels attack, because Moses is probably their biggest threat.
It's been the last month or so for you guys, it has been interesting as well, bringing guys like, you know, Ryan Papenhuyzen in, having to make a decision on who plays number 7. I think you went through a similar thing last year. What do you think's caused the change up? Is it the form of Papenhuyzen couldn't be left out of the side? Because Jerome Hughes, obviously you guys won the minor premiership by 6 points and he played fullback the majority of the year. Was it was he a little out of form in Croft and found like, do you think the coach felt couldn't go into the finals with him? I mean, some changes to be made really late in the season at crucial times. And I think during that game last week, it suffered some of those combinations you struggled in key periods.
Yeah, I think it's more of a case of how good Ryan Pappenhausen's been, and it's been a big rise for him. You know, he all preseason he wasn't even the backup fullback at our club. He was the third rank, struggling to get a run and get reps in there, and it's been incredible to see, you know, his rise. And I think he just adds a bit of speed and can really convert those chances. I know we haven't seen it probably in the last couple of weeks, but I'm really hoping he'll have a big game tonight. And same with Brody Croft. I think he's done a really good, solid job, and he's really unlucky to miss out.
Well, last week he was he was dangerous. He was dangerous. Every time he got the ball, you thought he's away, perhaps away here, and you get excited about seeing him.
We were just on to another team. We were having a chat before about the Broncos and Darius Boyd, and I think I may have seen on Twitter you'd put something up defending Darius and or perhaps players in general, because we were saying if a player is underpaid, we don't throw our hands up. But as soon as we think a player is overpaid, we think, oh, get rid of him quickly. What are your thoughts on that and the Darius situation?
Yeah, I don't know too much about the whole Darius situation. I'm just seeing kind of the comments, particularly in the media. And I think it's a bit dangerous, to be honest. It's, as I said, you know, clubs who sign players who outperform their contracts, they don't just go, here's another 100,000, you're doing fantastic. Yeah. You know, they make them honour that contract, but it's starting to creep in widespread, I think, across the NRL. Players are, you know, 1 or 2 years into a 3 or 4 year deal, and these players didn't force clubs to sign those contracts. These clubs have valued the player, they've offered him the contract, and they might not be performing, you know, to the highest standard, but they're trying their hardest. You know, every player goes out there to win and play hard. And like Darius, I'm sure he's a great clubman and does a lot for that Broncos club and the community there. And I just think it's a bit reckless saying, oh, let's just cut him and cut those other blokes. And, you know, we've got to honour those contracts. And it's not, you know, the poor bugger's been slammed all year. And it's not just him, it's his family and that. And I really feel for Darius. I suppose it's starting to creep in that I think clubs, I think, can just feel like they can just throw away a player if they haven't necessarily matched the value of their contract, I guess.
Talking to Christian Welch from the Storm, who is injured. You're clearly an intelligent young man. Do you use social media? Do you find the positives in that, or are you nervous about the negatives?
No, I think there's some really great positives. Social media, there's obviously some negatives, but like earlier in this year, I saw on Channel 7 Brisbane did a show on a young kid who's suffering from cerebral palsy and was waiting months for a wheelchair and he was getting pushed around in a wheelbarrow. So the whole rugby league community kind of rallied together. We got him tickets. We got him Broncos. Anthony Milford gave him his footy boots. We got him Knights at the Stanford Plaza. He come and met the team. And I'm still messaging that family today. So I think there's... Everyone likes to bag social media at times for the negativity, but there's some really great stories there and some great opportunities.
Well, speaking of great stories, congratulations on making your Origin appearances here. It was great to see you there because you've been in the system a while now, that emerging Queensland group. And I heard a great story. Apparently you bought, I don't know, 40, 50 tickets for your closest friends and family, and then not just that, you put like a $5,000 bar tab on for pre-Origin.
Yeah, a little bit of GST on those numbers, but yeah, along the lines of that, yeah. Well, I mean, how many times do you debut for Queensland? And I'm not silly. There's a nice little match payment for me coming in there. So, a lot of those people, family and friends, they've been a big reason why I was playing there. So it was really nice to reward them and put on a nice party. It was just a shame we couldn't get the Blues in the end.
How did you find it, Origin? Like, what was it, everything you thought it would be?
Yeah, it's a different beast. I really enjoyed it because it's such a different week and a different structured footy. It's I'm so used to Craig Bellamy, very analytical, very to the point, strategic, and whereas Origin is a bit of an emotional game of football. Kevy does a great job at connecting with his players and kind of reminding them of the history of Origin. And I spoke to Craig about that. How did he go managing New South Wales when he coached? And he kind of said to me, he said he might have missed the boat a bit there about connecting emotionally because he hadn't experienced Origin as a player. He kind of coached more strategically, where it's a bit hard to do because, you know, these camps... Yeah. You know, you're only in camp for 7-10 days. You only get 3 or 4 trainings before each game.
Well, I remember I was talking to Billy Slater, and he was telling me because it was hard because you had obviously a couple of three or four Queenslanders in there, and then apparently when you'd win a series or you'd go to Craig Bellamy, Cameron Smith, and I said, "Do you ever give like Bellamy stick?" And he goes, "Oh, mate," he goes, "I don't," but Cam sort of gives it to him. Cam goes, "Mate, Don't do it to yourself, mate. Don't coach him again, mate.
Yeah. He costs a bit of a grief because he doesn't have a great win rate in Origin. He's often reminded. Yeah.
Christian Welsh, we could talk to you for hours. Incredibly refreshing. Lovely to chat with you. Thank you so much. And good luck in what's going to happen in the recuperation with that ACL and your future here and beyond. Lovely to talk to you.
Thank you. And just quick, happy birthday to Mum.
Happy birthday. Drop the mic. What's your name?
Lynn Welch, if you're listening.
Happy birthday to Lynn Welch.
Happy birthday, Lynn. Yeah,
he's officially the nicest man in showbiz.
He is.
There he is. Saturday Triple M NRL. Eels are in Melbourne to take on the Storm for the right to go through and play the Roosters in the qualifying final. You will hear that tonight on Triple M. All right, Ryan Girdler. I should just mention, by the way, we just had a great interview with Christian Welch. Every time we do an interview, we do it thanks to Celebrations, helping you celebrate.
It's only fitting.
Get that.
Yeah, it's only
How could I forget that? All right, I understand, and this is new to me. I came in and had a look at the rundown, and there it was. I was never talked to about it, but it seems that you, Ryan Girdler, and you, Wendell Sala, were given some sort of homework to select.
And you weren't aware of this.
I wasn't aware of this.
Have you perhaps lost the dressing room?
To be honest.
Did he ever have the dressing room? Is that what you're saying?
I think you might have, because if the producer, Charlie, is not giving you his room last week, he's probably thinking that you've lost your sort of
And you're getting sent home straight after the show.
Yeah, you are.
More called home.
Oh, okay. Otherwise,
exactly. All right, so you were told to, just give me the background here, is it like an Australian team? I know Mal Meninga's thinking about who he's got to pick for the end of year.
No, Tony, it's a dream team for the NRL. So any player in the NRL...
Any nationality,
any club,
can make it. So if I was going to pick a side, let's call it the all-star team, but they're not playing anyone. So you can pick anyone you like with any background that you care.
All right, beautiful. Okay.
So that was the instruction. They were pretty clear from Charlie for a change.
Yes. Was it a 1 to 17, 1 to 13?
Only 13. He didn't want to confuse it with the interchange. So I've just gone 1 to 13.
If you're not good enough to make the team.
Would you like me to start? I'll just preference it by saying I've left two guys out that I just couldn't get in there, and we'll go through that in a minute.
Okay.
At the back, James Tedesco.
Yeah.
Oh, are you kidding?
Yeah, well, mate,
wow. Shock horror.
Mate, you've shocked me there.
on the wing is Mike Acevo.
Yep.
And Blake Ferguson.
Okay. Oh, yeah, nice.
Split the Eels wingers.
No, I can understand.
In the centres, on the left, I've got Latrell.
Yep.
On the right, I've got Moses Suli. Just pipping out Joseph Manu.
Yeah, nice.
Just on last night's performance, I think he just he was there. I thought of it.
Beautiful.
He was enormous.
Couldn't keep him out.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Given you can't have Tom Trbojevic at fullback, would you have put Tom Trbojevic in the centres?
You didn't.
Well, I haven't.
No, we'll just see.
My question actually is, why did you not?
Well, I could have. Yeah. Because he's injured at the moment, he can't play.
No, wait a second. It's a dream team. Surely they're all injury-free, aren't they?
I've just got Moses nudging out Tom at the moment.
Can I just say that, like, Moses Suli, he's had a good year, but, like...
Fantastic year.
But, you know, Joseph Manu's done that, like, for the last couple of years, premiership winner, so...
Yeah,
you know,
but it's a 2019 team.
Okay, that's it.
And also Tom Trbojevic.
Yeah, I've left Tom out.
Did that.
Yeah. I've left Tom
at Origin level.
Yeah.
He did do it at Origin level.
So...
You're feeling a little bit bad about Tommy.
And I've left Jack White out as well, which I found was really hard. But he has been playing 5-8. I could have put him in the centres. But I've gone with Moses Suli, rewarding him from last night's performance.
Okay. Right. You gave no thought to you and Aitken?
That's not nice, Tony.
No, it's not nice.
You were on his bandwagon last year before.
Yeah, Ewan would have got a start maybe last year, but not this year.
Yeah.
My 5-8 is...
I apologise. That was shallow and horrible.
Yeah, my 5-8 is Cameron Munster.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Shock horror.
My halfback is Luke Keary.
Yeah. Bingo.
So they're my halves combination. But I think they'll be the Australian.
Daly Cherry Evans.
Later.
He's had an
just
absolute
missed out.
Blinder.
Daly, he has. He's been fantastic the back end of the season, but I'm going to go with Luke.
Mm-hmm.
My front row is Adam Fanua Blake and Semi Burgess.
Beautiful.
And my two front rows. Any questions?
We're going to bounce with that.
Just on the on the halves again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Taking into consideration club combinations. Club combos. What about Keary and Cooper? Because I know he's retiring, but he's still at the end of the year, so he can fit in an All-Stars game.
What about him?
Yeah.
Why not Cooper and Keary?
Well, because I think Munster's one of the form players in the competition,
and he's still best
Cooper Cronk's playing in the competition at the moment, and Munster's in better form, and Luke Keary's probably the other in-form playmaker.
Beautiful. Even the experience in the big games.
Tony, do I have to listen?
No, I thought we were questioning and critiquing.
Yeah, but only good questions.
Yeah, but that's it.
Cooper's like 42.
Yeah.
He just won them a grand final when he touched the ball twice with a broken shoulder.
Yeah, come on. So was that him winning it or was that the Roosters?
Or the team,
come on.
No, yeah. No, anyway.
This is a healthy debate.
With all due respect to Cooper, they're my halves.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Can we move on?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Fanua Blake and Sam Burgess are the front rowers. Yep. Cameron Smith is the dummy half, just over Damien Cook, I have to say. Mm-hmm. My back row is John Bateman from the Raiders. Jason Taumalolo.
Yep.
I've got him on an edge.
Not at lock, okay. Right.
And I've got Cameron Murray.
Beautiful.
Just edging out Jake Dubojevic because Jake, of late, for mine, has been a little disciplined.
Yeah.
As of last night. Did you do this list after the game last night?
Yeah, I did it this morning.
That's how home
we both. So is that Jake's based on the decision which you believe was an incorrect decision and you've robbed him of a spot in the All-Stars team?
No, look, it's honestly, it's a toss of a coin between those two, but I would have to say he got man of the match last night, Cam Murray. He got man of the match the week before, and I just think Jake would be number 14 without a doubt with Jack White. If I could do 17, I'd really like to. But
Jake wouldn't play on your team because you didn't pick Tom.
Tom could be 18th man. Would that make Jake happy?
Wendell Saylor's.
That's a good team. That's a good team. I like it.
Okay. Wendell Saylor's team is next. Saturday Triple M NRL. We've heard from Ryan Girdler. We have his dream team. It's an all-star team. They're playing another imaginary team. Well, perhaps they could play Wendell Saylor's team. Let's see. And we can then work out what the score would be. Okay. So your team is already there. They've gone into camp. They're ready to go. All right, big fella, what have you got for us?
Actually, I've been watching a show for the last couple of years. It's called Ballers. Okay.
Boilers. No. Boilers. What's that show about, Wendell? Old ladies drinking an RSL club. I mean, what is Boilers
Can
about?
We pitch this show? Because already I'm interested. So what happens in Boilers?
I bet you are, Tony.
Guys, it's called.
They're a bit young for me.
It's called Ballers. So this is
Ballers.
Yeah, Ballers. Yeah, Ballers. I know.
Ballers.
Ballers.
Yeah.
So my general manager is going to be. This is me. I'm the general manager. I'm like, hey guys.
No, Emma's gone again.
So it's my fault. I've lost the dressing room here. I'm out. I'm sorry. I don't know why I was thinking Boilers.
Goods always has to be unprofessional.
No, it's my fault because I'm not.
Just use the microphone, please.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So general manager is obviously me. So
general manager of what?
My team. This is mine. That's where that was where I was going to go before I said Boilers.
You're going to argue with that selection, Em?
Yeah. great selection. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
At fullback, I've got a guy called James Tedesco. Okay. On the wings, I've got Josh Adokar. I like what he brings. Obviously, his speed and obviously he can't finish. And I've got Sivo on the other wing. Mm-hmm. In the centres, you'll like this, Emma. I've got Manu and Tom Trbojevic in my centre pairing.
Did you just put that in after Emma?
No, with Gertz.
Okay.
She loves Tom.
Yeah, no. But I love Tom
too. So you can have Jake in there as well?
No. Jake's not in my team. Just wait.
Okay.
At number six, he's my favourite player. I love what he brings to a team. Cameron Munster.
Yep.
At seven, I've got Luke Keary.
Yep.
Number eight, mate. How can you
Cooper Cronk?
No Cooper Cronk.
Daly, Cherry Evans.
No Daly Jones.
I like DCE, but Luke Curry.
I'm loving all of these decisions.
There's something about Luke Curry that I like what he brings to a team, not just only on the field, but off the field.
Yeah.
In the front row, I've got big Sammy Burgess. The other front rower with him is big Nelson Asofa. Mate, you know, he's playing some great football this year.
Mm-hmm.
Number nine, a bit controversial, I know. I know Cam Smith, everyone loves him, but my second favourite player to watch in the game is Damien Cook.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with Cookie.
Yep.
In my back row, a bit close to yours here, Gertz, but Bateman, obviously, number 11. I couldn't leave Cam Murray out, so he's my other edge back rower with Taumalolo at 13.
Oh, that's perfect.
Did you like that team? Yeah.
I loved it. I loved everything about it. It was not worth questioning one bit.
Thank you.
I agree. It was fantastic team.
Yeah. Much better than Gertz.
And you know what? It'd only lose by maybe 4 or 6 points.
That's good.
I'd love to see those two teams strut around in the general manager.
It'd be hard for Tedesco. He'd be having a busy night.
It would be. Absolutely would be. All right. Well, when we come back, we'll really flesh out that whole Boilers show.
Before we
pitch it to
Fox. You know what I was thinking? I was thinking, you know those lollies? You know the Boilers? You know the lollies? Have you ever had those? Those hard-boiled lollies?
Mm-hmm. Oh, the hard?
Yeah. Mm.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah. Like boiled lollies.
I think
boiled.
You know what? Why don't we discuss that while people are listening to something else? Yeah, okay. Saturday Triple M NRL. Heading towards the Melbourne Storm, taking on the Parramatta Eels. That will be heard tonight from 7:30. Sam Burgess has been in the news. He made it back onto the footy field last night after having that week off for the hair-pulling incident. So during the beginning of the week, he addressed the media, addressed the nation with his state of the nation and how the game and what position the game was in. And this is some of what he had to say.
Everyone seems to be saying there's been up all about this judiciary system. What's the process? It's like kangaroo court in there. Everyone's trialled by media, everything's social media, everything. We're just very reactive. I think we're reactive, but yet we're a multi-million dollar game and we're ruling out like players for big games, all those things that, you know, just find the player. Was it bad? Did anyone get injured? Is anyone hurt? No. Is it silly? Is it part of the game? Is it in the contest? Yeah. All right, that's the problem. Find a player. Players will pay whatever. Give it to charity. Put it into grassroots. Do something. But better than make your like senior players miss big games. That's what we played 9 months for.
There he is, Sam Burgess, being brutally honest with the media. Quite naturally, that got a response, not just from getting front and back pages, but it got a response from Todd Greenberg. Here's some of what he had to say.
No, it didn't please me at all. I think there's a way that we should talk about those things, and he'll need to give me the context of those discussions. And when comments are made publicly, we have to make sure we stand up for the people that do a significant amount of work for us in an integrity space.
All right, there's Todd Greenberg reacting to what Sam Burgess had to say. Now, I understand there's going to be, they've spoken on the phone, they are going to meet next week and discuss whether, in fact, he has brought the game into disrepute, whether there'll be a fine, what will happen. What have you made of the whole brouhaha, Em?
Well, so many people in the media and former players, they're critical of the way things are at the moment. And we want players to be honest, and we get annoyed when they give us cliched answers, which is maybe, say, 80% of the time, and then we throw our hands up when they're honest about something. I love Sam's honesty. Perhaps some of the things he said weren't entirely accurate. For example, mentioning specifically the judiciary, whereas the match review committee are more the ones that hand out. For example, his fine for a hair pull, that's the match review committee, and they're separate. And I think every time you go to the judiciary, you get a fair hearing. I think sometimes people are more concerned about the grading handed out by the match review committee. So I think maybe he got a little bit confused, but I like players who are honest, because otherwise you get the same sort of stuff, just, yep, oh, you know, yeah, one game at a time, all of that sort of stuff. I think we should be encouraging players to be themselves and be honest a bit more.
Yeah, the kangaroo court thing was probably unfortunate. Given the kangaroo court, the meaning seems to be that, you know, you've made the decision before the evidence presented to you. And we wouldn't imagine that is what's going on in the judiciary.
No.
But what did you
mean? Well, I don't know, Tony, because, I mean, everyone's been talking about this now for the last couple of weeks, and you can't take the fact that he's obviously emotional. He's just missed a major semi-final, and he was a little bit upset. And some people are going to say it was his own fault. But as well, I think there's some things around the policy that do need to be looked at, and we need our senior players and our strong personalities in our code to speak up and say what they think. And maybe, you know, he gets the chance to have, that chat with Todd this week, but maybe he felt like he hadn't been heard, and everyone's calling for change. And I think as long as we get change at the end of the year, because, you know, sometimes until policy's tested, you don't really know whether it's good policy. And at the moment, you know, with what we've seen over the last month or so, it's now been tested, this policy, and it doesn't work. We can't have players missing big games because essentially the player gets punished. We all understand that. But so does the game and so do the fans. And the game and the fans don't deserve it. So we need to come up with a system and put a system in place next year, whether it's a certain amount of money where players are fined for contrary conduct things and we don't have
the carryover,
the situations. It's confusing with the carryover.
The AFL does that, don't they?
The AFL does do that each case is on its own merits. But that said, they still were Toby Green. It seemed to be a carryover because he didn't get a week off for what looked like a worse incident. Then the following week he does get a week
once
off.
Once again, he put himself in that position, so it reoffends. And it's a bit like, you know, the two most frequent visitors to the court, probably to, you know, to this, not kangaroo court, but the tribunal.
Sam and Jared.
Sam and Jared. Yeah. You know, and two of the biggest players that we like, two of the big forwards who we like watching in the game, you know, go head to head. And I just think there's a lot of emotion there. And I think Sam sometimes, he says a lot of things, but sometimes, as you said, it's just about getting, break it down to how he wants it or what he's really thinking.
Yeah, so you just have to make sure you have the facts correct. And I think what probably annoyed Todd Greenberg was questioning the integrity yes. of the process, whereas I don't think there's anything, no yes. one's deliberately going out there to rort the system,
yep.
but I do think the system needs to be looked at so that Sam, for example, even if you're a repeat offender for something like so minor with a hair pull, maybe you just get a really, really large fine and you don't miss out on a big game. But that's a separate discussion.
Hargraves was always going to get there. He was going to get sanctioned last week, regardless of what he went in there for, given the fact that he was in there the week before. And I think yeah. that's what Sam meant by the kangaroo court, where, you know, and they speak about trial by media. I mean, we're here to speak about the issues in the game, and when the issues are there, we're going to discuss them. And that's just, you know, what we do. That's what the journalists do. That's what's in the front back page of the paper. But the fact that Waria Hargreaves had to go in 2 weeks in a row and he got off the first week, in my opinion, he was never going to get off and be playing in that prelim final next week.
But is the game in a state of disarray because it's decided that we've gone past bloke pulling another bloke's hair? I mean, I think that's a bad look. It's a bad look for the game. So well,
yeah.
It's
happened forever. It's been happening forever and a day. It's only little hair pulls and things like that.
Yep. It's not worth missing yeah. a finals yeah. game.
Squirrel grips and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he knows. He knows the system. He knows. I mean, yeah. he knows that he's done it before. He knows there's carryover points. And there he is, first game back.
Don't take this the wrong way, but he's got a young guy in one of his first games by the back of the hair and give him a little bit of a shove. You know, there's a difference between pulling someone's hair and roughing a guy up. And sometimes these guys in the middle...
Can you show me the difference?
Yeah,
I'd
love to.
Okay.
But sometimes, you know, in those situations around the foot, it's not a good look. And when you slow it down, the camera angles are there and everyone's going to probably say, oh, you know, he's a Neanderthal. But the fact of the matter is, yeah. you know, that's what guys in the middle sometimes do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. And look, I love his honesty.
And we want characters in the game. We want more fans to be, you know, buying in, and you want interesting characters.
Why isn't our game for everyone? What do you mean our game's not for everyone?
Well, I mean, some people just don't take offence to everything that happens in our game. And if you're one of those people that take offence to it, we need to look after the product and the people that are not just rusted on, but obviously there's people there that we're trying to attract to the game all the time, Tony. I understand that. But our game, I don't believe, is for everyone.
Okay. If you don't like it, go and watch the new episode of Boilers. It's on.
Let it go, Tony. Let it go, mate.
We'll get some mail.
Did you say Emma qualified for Boilers?
We'll film it in the Quest Hotel where I'm staying on my own.
It's a spin-off, the Bunny Boilers. We'll get Graham Annesley. Have a chat with him as well. As I said, read his mail is next. Saturday, Triple M NRL.
For McDonald's, this is Triple M Footy.